This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm John Ross, KD8IDJ, and this is the ARRL Audio News for Friday, August 19th, 2022. The International Space Station has upgraded its amateur radio operations. ARRIS, amateur radio on the International Space Station, announced that simultaneous operations of the ARRIS voice repeater and digital APRS communications on the space station are now a reality. Current ARRIS operations include voice repeater transmissions with the JVC Kenwood TMD710GA in the Columbus module and APRS operations from the identical radio in the Cervata service module. Packet operations are on 145.825 MHz. The Columbus module radio uses the call sign NA1SS, and the new radio in the Cervata module uses RS0ISS. Aside from the call signs, the radios are identical, and packet operations are both the same as before. You can use RS0ISS, ARISS, or APRSAT as the packet path. Both radios are expected to be running full-time except during educational contacts, extravehicular activities, EVAs, and docking maneuvers. Final checkouts and equipment activation occurred on August 11th. ARRIS International Chair Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, said that simultaneous operation of APRS and the voice repeater on ISS is transformative for ARRIS. It represents a key element for our ARRIS 2.0 initiative, providing interactive capabilities 24/7 that inspire, engage, and educate youth and lifelong learners, especially lifelong learners in ham radio operations. Our heartfelt thanks to Sergei Serburov, RV3DR, for making this crucial ARRIS 2.0 initiative become a reality. Meanwhile, Rosalie White, K1STO, one of two delegates to ARRIS, said that the ham radio community will be very happy with the new radio operations from the ISS. She said that hams really love doing ARRIS packet, crossband repeater, and slow scan TV operations. Besides the thousands who downloaded ARRIS SSTV images downlinked from the ISS, we discovered that in a year's time, hams did 80,000 ARRIS packet messages. We're not sure how many of them are enjoying the ARRIS crossband repeater yet, but we do know it is a lot. The simultaneous operation capability is going to make many hams happy, and we know that keeping hams on the air is good for ARRL and good for amateur radio. For more information, you can see www.arriss.org. The High Frequency Active Oral Research Program, known as HARP, will host an open house at their facility in Jacona, Alaska on August 27, 2022. That event will offer an opportunity to learn how scientists study the Earth's ionosphere and provide a tour of the research facility as well. Amateur radio operators who attend can learn about how the ionosphere affects both long- and short-term range communications. The University of Alaska Fairbanks acquired HARP's research equipment from the United States Air Force in August of 2015, and their Geophysical Institute operates HARP under a cooperative research and development agreement. In 2021, the National Science Foundation awarded the UAF Geophysical Institute a 5-year, $9.3 million grant for new research observation and observatory at HARP. UAF describes HARP as the world's most capable high-power, high-frequency transmitter for study of the ionosphere. Built in three phases, starting in the early 1990s and continuing through 2007, at a cost of some $300 million, the 30-acre facility has 360 transmitters, 180 antennas, and 5 powerful generators. The open house runs from 9 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, August 27th, and will feature a 90-minute self-guided tour that will highlight the following: HARP's control room, science and history displays, power plant with the 5 generators used during the research, and transmitters and the 33-acre antenna array. Eventually, there will be a virtual tour of the HARP facility. More information about HARP and their open house is available on their Facebook page. ARRL welcomes Steve Berry, N1EZ, into the new position of Director of Information Technology. He's from Bedford, New Hampshire, and has been a radio amateur operator for 45 years. Barry began his 35-year IT career in software development with a wide range of environments, from firmware to Unix device drivers and application development. While working for AT&T Bell Labs, now known as Nokia Bell Labs, as a network consultant, he built his first consulting firm focused on Unix, networking, and electronic publishing. After the acquisition of that firm, he worked in senior-level management positions within systems integration and consulting organizations before founding Stratford Technology in 1995. I'm pleased to welcome Steve into his new role at ARRL headquarters, said CEO Dave Minster, NA2AA. The position and its responsibilities are key to helping us achieve ARRL's ongoing digital transformation for the benefit of our members. As Director of Information Technology, Barry is responsible for the overall strategic and operational IT functions, including continuous evaluation and execution of processes, systems, applications, and infrastructure. Barry manages a team of professional IT contributors, including a development team and project leaders. Together, they fulfill a variety of technology services for the organization, such as corporate databases and systems, websites and web services, service support, and coordinating outside suppliers of technology services and contracted resources. I feel truly honored to give back to ARRL and the hobby, Barry said. Both have done so much for me, especially with the many friends I've made over the years and the HAM mentors who gave me my start in my career. Here's this week's AMSAT update from Bruce Page, KK5DO, and this interesting anomaly happens every now and then. We have RS-44 that is operational all of the time, and then we have FO-29 that is on a schedule due to issues with its batteries. The satellites were launched many years apart. However, like everything that orbits the Earth, their paths may coincide now and then, as is the case in the present time. So what effect does this have? Well, some that is working RS-44 with an uplink on 145.935, 145.995, will be heard on the downlink of 435.640. Now that sounds good so far. FO-29 has uplink on 145.900, 146, and will be heard on 435.850. Well, as you can see, the uplinks are nearly identical. However, the downlinks are different. So to temporarily resolve the issue, it's a good practice to call your CQ and say the satellite such as CQ-CQ-RS-44, and then your call sign, or CQ-CQ-FO-29, and then your call sign. This happened a long time ago when we discovered that the AO-7 satellite was interfering with the downlink from another satellite. Now that's how we found AO-7 had come back to life after a long nap. ARRL has introduced the third edition of Get on the Air with HF Digital by Steve Ford, WB8IMY. The book, written in an easy-to-understand style, it covers how to set up and operate your own HF digital station. Ford includes details for making contacts using 11 different digital modes, including the Pachter system, as well as signal WSJT-X modes, VARA, and JS8 call. Join the millions of amateur radio operators worldwide studying propagation with WSPR, contesting with RDTY, and rag-chewing with the JS8 call. You can order your copy from ARRL and ARRL publication dealers. The Trinidad and Tobago Amateur Radio Society, known as TTARS, will celebrate the Trinidad and Tobago's 60th anniversary of independence on August 26th through September 2nd, 2022. A special event call sign 9Y60TT will operate multi-mode, multi-band, and multi-operator. The modes will include just about everything: HF single sideband, CW, slow scan TV, FT8, JS8, FT4, JT65, and 2-meter EME satellite. Also, automatic packeting reporting system, that's APRS, via the International Space Station, digital voice DMR, and EchoLink, and much more. QSL is available via the Logbook of the World. For more information on the event and to obtain a certificate, visit their website at TTARS. Rice University in Houston, Texas is offering a new class, Physics of Ham Radio, beginning on August 22, 2022. The class is primarily aimed at teachers, but Rice undergraduates and postgrads are also welcome. Classes will meet in person, but virtual participation is possible by request. The class teaches the basics of electromagnetic waves, simple circuit and antenna theory, radio propagation, GPS theory and operation, the ionosphere, the magnetosphere, and the space weather. The space midterm is the technician class amateur radio license exam. The second half of the course covers GPS and space weather topics, along with one general electric circuit lab and a safe solar eclipse observation technique. The class is taught by Professor Patricia Reif, W5TAR, and will use the fifth edition of the ARRL Ham Radio License Manual. Now, the cost of 3 hours of academic credit is $1,200. That's discounted from $8,900, or for professional development, only $150. Some partial scholarships for the academic credit version are available, thanks to NASA's HEAT program. For detailed information, you can visit the website for the Weiss School of Natural Sciences at Rice University. In radio sport contesting, many opportunities are available for you. On August 19th, it's the QRP Fox Hunt, that's CW. August 20th through the 21st, the SARTG WWV RIDI contest, that's digital. August 20th through the 21st, the ARRL 10 gigahertz and up contest, CW phone and digital. August 20th, that's the Feldhill Sprint, that's digital. August 20th through the 21st, the North American QSO Party, single sideband. August 21st, the SARL High Frequency Digital Contest, digital there. On August 21st, the ARRL Rookie Roundup, that's RTTY, digital. On August 21st through the 22nd, the Run for the Bacon QRP Contest, that's CW. On August 23rd, Worldwide Sideband Activity Contest, that's on phone. On August 24th, the SKCC Sprint, CW. And on August 24th, the Phone Weekly Test, that, of course, is phone. And some upcoming section, state, and division conventions that you might want to know about. On August 20th through the 21st, it's the Huntsville Ham Fest, hosting the ARRL Southeastern Division Convention. That's in Huntsville, Alabama. August 26th through the 28th, the Northeast Ham Exposition, hosting the ARRL New England and Hudson Division Convention. That's in Marlborough, Massachusetts. On September 2nd through the 4th, the Shelby Ham Fest, hosting the ARRL Carolina Section Convention. That's in Shelby, North Carolina. September 9th through the 10th, the Queen Wilhelmina Ham Fest, hosting the ARRL Arkansas State Convention in Mena, Arkansas. On September 11th, the ARRL Southern New Jersey Session Convention, Mullica Hill, New Jersey. September 17th through the 18th, it's the QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo. That's an online event, and ARRL is a QSO Today partner. From September 23rd through the 24th, it's the HRO Superfest, hosting the ARRL Central Division Convention. That's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And special thanks this week to the West Alabama Amateur Radio Club in Lamar, Alabama, and the Lake County Amateur Radio Association in Ohio for broadcasting the ARRL audio news on their repeaters. 73.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.